And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
I remember when I told you Massage Envy's massage therapist threw up all over my room.
Unfortunately, I do recall this incident.
They charged me for it.
I'm sorry.
You know, the one thing that they said.
Body spasm I had there.
Remember the one thing that they said that, okay, we're very sorry, we'll make sure not to charge you for this. Yeah, they charged me for it. I'm assuming we're recording now.
Yeah. So what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Pappy.
Chris
and
ain't here.
Cat.
Oh yeah, Cat's here. I was gonna okay. Introduce you, but you're like just jumping in. Go ahead, just introduce yourself.
Sorry. Hi, I'm Cat from Scrumptious Unscripted.
Pappy's other boss.
Yeah.
Out of the nine.
Oh my gosh. Did we have an HR meeting that I didn't know about, Joe?
Are we calling him
into the office right now?
I fired him, but he just keeps showing up, so I don't know what the fuck to do anymore.
Well, you didn't have a guest for today, so you're like, well, fuck, I gotta let Pappy back on.
Might as well.
God damn it.
You gotta issue the proper paperwork, that's the problem.
Yeah, you didn't fire me properly, so I found a loophole and just came back to the office.
Hey, Pappy.
Yeah.
Pappy.
Yeah?
You fired.
Yeah, see, that wasn't appropriate.
Damn.
I'm going to HR now.
I was appropriate. I'm HR.
Go fuck yourself.
You
were looking at my cleavage, and I'm upset now.
Oh, dear. Please present your case to me, Pappy.
Hold on. I think there's a panda for that.
The sexual harassment panda?
So, yes. Episode 169 of the SML podcast. 169.
I would be on the 69 episode, wouldn't I?
Hey, girl.
Yeah, that's the number of 69s Joe has had in his life. Because, you know, he decided he wanted to be on top, and that pretty much killed sexy times.
Yeah, she's still recovering.
Section is a bitch, man.
So I figure since we have three MAGFest attendees on the show, this could be a wonderful MAGFest recap episode, since our previous episode this week was like straight to the business, game interview, developer review, stuff like that.
Well, that's good. I don't show up for the business.
Yeah, this is one of our old school SML fuck around episodes.
Woo! Yes.
We'll have a couple people be like, yay, I missed these, and probably more people will be like, well, click.
All of the people who got our card at MAGFest are going to listen to this episode and be like, I want nothing to do with these idiots.
Well, I'm assuming they're going to listen to the one from Tuesday.
Yeah, and then they'll listen to this one and realize what a horrible mistake they've made.
But by then, they should already be booked, so.
True. True. I hope so. I regret my decision after the fact. I do want to touch on a handful of the games that I played in the indie room. Oh, hi, Potato, on my desk.
Yeah, and
again.
I played two games.
Two.
I mean that you haven't touched on, or that you won't touch. Like, I played two Steam games this week. Sorry, played two games on Steam. One of them was a lot of fun. No, both of them were a lot of fun. One of them was not brutally difficult.
I've been revisiting games that I had played ages ago and then rediscovered, like Chime.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, God. I forgot about that
one. From way back when. Yeah. I just, like, I saw it on my dashboard, and I was like, oh, my gosh, they actually updated this. Okay.
Our friend Sean, a.k.a. Muscles Glasses, went and downloaded an NES emulator because he had so much fun watching them play Snake, Rattle, and Roll.
Oh, God. We need to get him on the show.
I started Fallout 4 again. I made I can't say a ginger because that's offensive. I made a lad with red hair and freckles, and then I named him the Red Menace.
Wait, ginger is offensive
now?
Yeah,
it's considered a hate word, yeah.
What about soulless ginger? Is that still...
Well, I mean, that's saying soulless and then a hate word. I mean, so yeah, it's really the same
But
thing.
It's a descriptor.
But two wrongs make a right. Or no, two
you
lefts
can still
make
call
a right.
them soulless.
Three
That's
lefts make
fine.
A right.
You just can't call them ginger.
soulless red-haired people.
Man.
I made him the Red Menace, and then I looked up the list of things that Cosworth can actually call you, and I changed it to fucker when I left the vault. So now I'm just a guy with red hair, freckles, named Fucker.
Hello, fucker. Master Fucker.
Master Fucker.
Oh, lordy.
That's
what
I...
You gotta give Cosworth the top hat to wear. You have to find him one.
There's like, yeah, there's only one type of hat, though. You gotta find the right bowler hat.
Yes.
If you try to give him a fedora, he's like, fuck you, what do I look like?
What do I look like? A neckbeard like you, fucker. So how's your MAGFest? Pappy, you weren't even here last episode, so how was your MAGFest?
It was a lot of fun. I did my average, one concert and two panels.
Nice.
Yeah, and then four parties.
I did the opposite, one panel and two concerts.
Ah, nice. And we both did the same panel.
True.
Yeah.
VG Improv, baby.
Yeah, all three of us were that one.
Yeah, I was going to say, it must have been improv, because that's where I saw you both.
They pointed out 7 years ago there were like 100 people in the audience, and this year over 800. Yeah, they almost filled up a 1,000-person room.
Yeah, it's so fucking cool to see how big VG Improv has gotten.
They've more than doubled on the stage as well.
Yeah.
I did the count. There were eight.
The best yet.
Yeah. I did the count because it was initially X-Strike and then Bobby and Kevin. It was eight. And then it just, now there's like 47 people on stage.
How many people are you including in X-Strike?
The six guys that I counted off in my head.
Which are?
Weiss, Aaron, Rory, Tim, Chad, and Brett. That was six.
How about Darren?
I said Darren.
Steve.
Oh, I missed Steve. Okay.
Tim.
Ben.
I said Tim. I missed Ben. Okay, so there were 10. It's still more than doubled. In my defense, everybody misses Ben. We're freaking out.
True. Very true.
Nobody remembers Ben.
Poor Ben.
I'm sure he's happy that way. He's like, when they get hate, no one even remembers me, you know? Fuck you guys and that other dude.
Speaking of everybody saying a gigantic fuck you to Ben, how about the dead actors sketch?
Oh, my God. The number of people who didn't know Dr. Harwell's sing-along blog was actually surprising. I'd seen that so many times, I just kind of assumed it was the zeitgeist, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it... I don't know, I guess, but we're getting to that age where, like, some of our things just aren't as popular anymore.
Oh, no, I mean on the stage. Ben was the only person who had seen that. On stage, when they did Dead Actors,
which
out of the
sad.
Four guys, Ben was the only one who'd seen it. And I was surprising, because I'm like, wow, I just kind of thought that at least half of you, if not all of you, not just one of you. Well, yeah, and then everybody running up and dying was pretty good.
I know, that was fantastic. God, improv was so good this year.
It really was.
Now, something that we did, you did a lot more better than I did, but we did this year, was actually pimp our show in the Indie Arcade, which was nice.
Yeah, I was there for 4 days. For the majority of those days, you were there for about 15 minutes.
I was there for about 4 hours total all weekend.
In the indie room?
Yeah.
Half totally. Of that 4 hours was you passing through then, because you weren't with me for four hours.
No, I was not with you. No, I went down alone once.
I have a hard time believing you went down alone to play games.
I didn't intend to. I took it. No, I didn't play any games. I was just walking around.
I'm just walking around crying.
I was so scared.
I'm lost.
I never played a single arcade. That was the first for me. I didn't play a single arcade game all weekend.
Me neither. Oh,
see, I played more arcade this year than I have ever.
The only time I spent in the arcade was when I found you and Wood in the arcade to say goodbye on Sunday.
That's the only real time I was in there, except when Chris got there, and I meant to bring you back to the arcade because they had Road Blasters there.
Ah, oh, shit. I could have seen it.
Yeah, I took a picture of it to show you and be like, hey, look, we got to go do this. And now you saying I was never in the arcade. I'm like, fuck.
Yeah,
me neither.
We had our friend Muscles do the table flipping. I got to figure out how to get that video up on Facebook.
Which was frightful to watch.
Yeah, most people flip tables. Nope, he fucking bench pressed it and then threw it 20 feet.
The best part was when he like went down to get it, and the camera guy was just sitting there like, oh, he's going to flip this table. And then he picked it up, with all the shit on it, and the camera guy just like stepped back a whole bunch, is like, fuck this, I'm getting out of here.
And then Sean still said, you want to move back more.
Yeah, keep going, keep going.
Because we, you know, we convinced him to take his shirt off, so he just had his blah, 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 undershirt. Thank you, Jesus.
You're welcome.
He had his tank top, and the two girls were just oogling him, and then we went to put a shirt on. I passed by him, and the one's like, ah, I wish I didn't have a boyfriend right now.
Hey, that doesn't stop a lot of people at MAGFest.
Yeah, that's true. But no, I mean,
happy, you whore.
Not only have I met his wife, well, I've never slept with anyone that I wasn't dating at MAGFest. I've never slept with anyone at MAGFest when I was dating someone else. There we go.
Well, it's good you didn't sleep at them. That's good.
I never slept at somebody. I'm sleeping at you so hard, you motherfucker.
Oh, I'm going to sleep at you so hard.
Yeah, we had the pajama party when I discovered firsthand that MAGFest is big enough now for people who just wander around looking for parties and having shitty excuses to get in.
Dude, MAGFest has been that big. Dude, MAGFest was that big at MAGFest 1. But, if there's a party going on anywhere, there's going to be people looking for that party.
When we did the Lumberjack Lounge together, I was never the doorman. I was always the bartender.
So speaking of, how you kind of forced Kat to be the door lady for a big chunk of that
night. It wasn't intentional, and she did a really good job at it. So
yeah, it was only, you know, it was, hey, can you watch this while I play a game of pool? 2.5 hours later.
I'm like, Kat, why are you just sitting here by the door? And you're like, because someone fucking left me here.
At any given moment, she could have just been like, hey, Pappy, get your ass back here. I'd be like, oh, yeah, sorry.
Actually, you know, it was great because people kept coming in to talk to me and I could actually hear them because it was a one-on-one conversation.
Yeah, I actually kind of enjoyed it.
It worked out really well.
Yeah, I was watching the door, yeah, because no one was leaving the door guard alone, you know. So there was always someone swinging by me like, hey, what's up? You know, that's how I learned that Kevin's voice is very loud. In that space, the combined space. He was drunk enough that he was in professor mode, so he was projecting to an auditorium 3 feet in front of me.
see, situations like the party make me happy when we have moments like Tub Talk.
God, yeah. It's just the random stuff. I think, and this is for anyone listening, when you go to a convention and you're hanging out with your friends, you got to kind of let things flow. Because sometimes just silly things happen where you look back and you're like, I'm really glad that occurred. Yeah, four of you just went into my fucking bathroom, sat in a dry tub, and shot the shit for a while.
And I'm really sad none of those other people could be on this show right now because Muscles is probably at the gym.
He's building more muscles right now.
Yes. He's at the gym.
He's making up for all that cardio he had to do last weekend.
I know. He's so tiny now.
I'm thirsty. Aww. I felt good. that like peaked the microphone too, so I'm gonna have to edit that.
Oh no, you'll have to edit. Oh shit.
I do that every now and then.
Yeah, and every year there's something just random that happens where you look back and you're like, I don't know how or why that occurred, but that was fun. I ended up talking about active listening.
What'd you say?
Exactly. For 2 hours, just talking to somebody about just active listening and why some of our friends are really good at it and why some of our friends are really bad at it and just how to judge a conversation and let it flow. So that's when I made that post about, you know, emotional growth at MAGFest. It's like, I'm actually learning useful things talking to people, you know?
What?
Because this particular person, I didn't realize how much it annoyed them when a lot of people would just walk up, hey, I haven't seen you in a year. Let me talk about myself. All right, cool, later.
And yeah, a lot of people do that.
But when it was pointed out, I could walk around and start paying attention to who does and doesn't, you know?
See, my lead off is always, how have you been? And then I wait for you
to answer
that.
With you, Kat, you're special.
You're special,
you are
butterfly.
You are always interested in how the other person's doing. We just have to let you vent about your family first.
Yeah, I didn't do any of that at MAGFest, actually.
No, not at MAGFest. I'm just talking like in general conversation with you. You call me. And it's like, hey, how's it going? Oh, here, let me tell you why I'm angry. And then 10 minutes later, you're like, so how's it going? And then you're very good with back and forth. We just have to let you vent first.
Well, I have a lot of things that I need to vent about currently.
Well, how's your family, Kat?
They're great. I only want to murder them 90% today.
Oh, wow. That's good. Things have calmed down.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's no complaints.
There's the downside to being an only child is you can't foist them on anyone else for a while.
No, I don't get to hand them, like, the only, you know, handoff I can do is I can be like, oh, hey, Maisie, you want to make sure, you know, dad takes his meds?
Yeah, that's yeah. A cat.
Yeah, no, it's a cat. Actually, I think she's a better caregiver than I am at this point, frankly. She's a lot less bitter.
Oh, man.
So how about you, Kat? What did you enjoy about the mag?
I enjoyed, well, I really made time for people this year. And I really enjoyed the fact that I made that decision. I mean, I still actually, I went to more panels this year than I ever have, which was 3.
That's awesome. Yeah, I forgot about the ID at Xbox. I did want to go to that and then just completely forgot about it.
See, I had to flip a coin mentally about either going to that or going to Metroid Metal, and I went to Metroid Metal.
Okay, that's
Metal.
Fair. Yeah,
yeah, I had 0 concerts this year. 0. None.
I could have done 0 concerts and 3 panels, or 1 panel and 2 concerts, and I went with the 1-Ups and Metroid Metal instead of Name That Tune and ID at Xbox.
I have now seen the 1-Ups, I want to say, 8 times. I've seen every other band at MAGFest combined 5 times.
Oh, wait, I did see a third band. I saw Gimmick down in...
There you go.
Down in the MAGFest underground. I didn't. Apparently, it was a new room they added this year. Down by the gift shop, there was like a little side area.
Yeah.
And it was basically MAGFest classic concert.
Oh, I think you missed it, Kat. But Joe actually got to see me go full military for an hour and a half.
Oh, I spared you from having to go full military when we were at that restaurant and it was like, time to go. All those airmen walked in.
Yeah.
How did you go full military?
At cleanup.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We've been here for 2 hours. We should have been done an hour ago. Let's do this.
Getting
sick of your shit. You do this, you do this, you do this. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah, but you see how quickly and efficiently it was when I took over.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Some people are just better at organizing, and some people are better at giving orders. No, I mean, otherwise, it was a lot of fun. I mean, you know, for anyone listening, if you haven't been to MAG, man, like, make an effort. Make an effort. I mean, you know, my friend came for the first time this year, and he'd never been to anything other than like anime conventions and maybe a few of the cons, you know, like Comic-Con. And just like, it was just so different. It was just so much more fun, more laid back. Even with 25,000 people, it just felt like there was a lot. And because of the free arcade and the indie stuff, there's more to do rather than just like Dragon Con. It's just go stand in line for a panel, buy shit. Go back in line for a panel. Comic Con, you want a fucking autograph? Go stand in line for 2 hours. Now go check out someone's video game and then go stand in line for 8 more hours.
To be fair, if someone's listening to our show and they've listened to the past years that we've done shows after MAGFest or even at MAGFest and they still haven't gone, fuck you.
Well, I mean, if you're in like Cali making minimum wage, you have a reason.
No. Fuck you.
But yeah,
it is
unlike any other. And I've been to Comic-Con, well, East Coast Comic-Con, not the Cali one, but still, I've been to a Comic-Con, I've been to Dragon Con, I've been to anime conventions, I've been to a Star Trek convention, for Christ's sake. MAGFest is unlike anything you've ever done.
Because MAGFest isn't a convention. Yeah. It's a party.
It's a festival, yeah.
It's a party.
Yeah.
Although it is definitely becoming more convention-like in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, but as long as you got the arcade and stuff like that, it'll never fully go.
Seriously, did either of you get to MAGFest Underground?
Yes.
You were there?
Yes.
How much did that remind you of, like, old-school MAGFest?
Well, I'm going to say I went Saturday night, and the smell of everybody in there definitely reminded me of old-school MAGFest.
Yeah.
See, when I was in there watching Gimmick, it's not like how it is now in the concert hall where there's a big ass stage and all this intricate setup. It was like instruments on a riser in the corner of the room.
Oh yeah, it was like you know, it was like cheap backyard wedding setup.
And the best part is Gimmick's final song, their most popular one, is Bubble Bobble. And at the end of the song, it starts picking up, getting faster, getting faster, getting faster. People just started jumping on stage and jumping around with the band. Chris Taylor lost his guitar in the middle of it, and someone else was playing it later. Like, at the end of this, it just changed people. It felt like fucking MAGFest 2 of people just jumping on stage, partying with the bands, and there's no security, like, oh, you need to step back, you need to be over there, oh, you can't come. This area is for photographers only.
Well, as you get bigger, you get more liable.
True.
Well, there's that.
This just felt like old school, man. It was an awesome feeling to be there for that show. Plus, Gimmick tore the house down.
So many less, like, or so much less audience there. You know, you go and see the 1UP's concert, you probably have like 4,500 people in that room.
It was ridiculous. Yeah, there were, like was commented more than once, there were more people waiting to get into a room than there were at Mag 1.
Yeah. Which is, it's crazy. It is. Someone said there were legit 5,000 people at Ninja Sex Party.
I believe that.
Which is fucking ridiculous. That there were more people.
When did they hit 5,000? Mag 10?
When it hit the Gaylord. Because
that's why we moved.
They could never hit 5,000 at the Hilton because it could only sustain like 3,000 people there. So,
staying there, but I think the last year the Hilton they hit 4,500 total passes sold.
But even still, there were more people at a single concert than were at any other MAGFest, at the Gaylord.
Yeah. And
which
blows
my mind.
I have a feeling based. I mean, we had our issues. You know, someone whipped creamed the fucking door of Darren's room, which was silly. And we had a lot of hot smell. But I don't compare to what happened the week before. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a feeling we're still in their good graces for next year because I know they're locked in for a little while.
On the 9th floor, I did see a fist mark on a wall, which I was pretty pissed about.
Yeah, but was that ours? Was that?
I don't know. I just saw it on Sunday night, like when I went up to get my bag out of John's room. I just saw it look like someone punched the wall, and there was just like a tiny, like they clearly either the wall's really tough or they were gigantic pussies and couldn't actually get their fist into the wall.
Honestly, they might have just stumbled over drunk. That's a reality.
It looked fist like. It didn't look like a stumble, like a shoulder or something. It looked like someone tried punching a wall.
I mean, because I know at Katsu the week before there, someone punched a hole in the wall and then put fucking.
One Punch Man was here.
Stupid, because if One Punch Man had done it, there wouldn't be a hotel left, first of all.
Learn your anime, children. God, Katsu-kon.
That's people point out. Like, MAG is big enough now, it's multi-generational now. It's no more, you know, the first MAG, it was mostly 20-somethings who were either in the video game cover band industry or fans of it. Now it's just everybody, you know, kids to old people.
The craziest part is now knowing that we're at the point where there are kids attending MAGFest younger than MAGFest.
Yeah, which is great.
And not like babies going with their parents, like children legitimately attending MAGFest younger than MAGFest.
Yeah. Maybe and some of them were made at a MAGFest.
I'm sure there were.
Ew.
Good times.
Oh, I saw a couple of kids running around where it was just like, you know, hearing the general banter of like, oh, how old are they? Oh, well, they just turned one. Like,
I felt really bad because we were playing that the Monkey Block game.
Oh, Ookie Blocks.
Ookie Blocks. And a guy, you know, a guy comes up and his kids look really into it. So I'm like, yeah, absolutely, jump ahead. And, you know, after like 5 minutes, he's like, hey, man. He's talking to his kids, and he's like, all right, you know, we got to let this guy. He's like, no, man, it looks like your daughter's way better at this. And he's like, oh, it's my because he had hair. The kid had hair down to his waist, and just like a 4 or 5 year old. So I made the mistake of being gender biased based on hair length.
You're an asshole.
Yeah.
I knew that was a son too, and you're just like your daughter. You dickhead.
Should have stuck with kid. I should have just said kid. It's safer.
Child.
I'll do a shout out to them quick because I did want to do a shout out to some of the people that we saw there. Uki Blocks from Skyboy Games.
That looks like cool this stuff. Looks like a Wii U game. Like it looks like it would fit in so well with the Nintendo.
Well, they're looking to. I believe they said bring it to everything they can.
Yeah,
which is,
yeah, obviously.
Which is always good.
But I'm just saying, I feel like they would do well on the Wii.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. I got a bunch of different cards from people there. A handful of people actually proactively contacted us first, which is awesome.
Yeah, we've already gotten 3 do not contact orders. They just beat us.
3 DNCs and
only
and
one
restraining
order.
Orders.
Only one, so we're good.
Only one. Damn, I was expecting 2.
I know.
Mean, and here's something Joe talked about a couple of times. If you're working in the industry and you want to be an indie dev, if you can't afford or don't feel that you need to hire a PR department, become good PR. There were a couple really awkward conversations that we had down there. I mean, there were some amazing ones. Like the guys doing the Rogamon was just straight up like, "Hey, you want a T-shirt? Hey, play the game. It's right fucking there. Just play it, man."
They were one of the guys who like reached out to us first and were like, "Dude, it was great meeting you at the con, and you know, if you want to get any iOS codes for the game or Android codes, let us know. Otherwise, it's free to play online." By the way, Rogamon from Burger Circus, check them out. The game is fucking ridiculous. I think I tweeted out that it was the stupidest game I've ever seen at MAGFest, and I love it, and I'm sexually attracted to it.
Basically, adult Pokemon. Everything is a sex joke, or like the Scrooge McDuck type character.
Fucking pickle pimp.
Yeah, you throw money at your enemy. It was just ridiculous.
And the craziest part is like once you look past all the goofiness of the game, it's really solid. It is like a legit deep Pokemon-ish kill things kind of. It's a solid game underneath all the craziness. It's legit.
Yeah.
So I hope that shit hits other platforms.
Yeah, but the big thing to point out is that, you know, because even we weren't even really upset if they didn't jump on us first, but if we started checking out a game, you know, you want to start a conversation. We had a couple really awkward conversations, Joe more so than me.
Yeah, there were a number of booths down there where, you know, I don't want to go down there and be like, "Hi, my name's Joe, and I'm a podcaster." I go and I stand there and I want you to talk to me. I want you to get my this is your game. You need to sell me on your game. Like if I had a booth there for the podcast, it'd be like, "Hey, do you like podcasts?" "No, well, me neither, and I do one, so check us out." But
well, yeah,
it's
their
job.
You're a business person at that point.
It's their job to entice the gamer to check out their game and either get interested in it to the point that they're going to want to buy it when it comes out, or in the case of some of the games, buy it then and there.
Yeah, Kat, I mean, you have a lot of experience with this, with your day job.
Yeah.
I mean, what would you do if somebody just walked up to your you know, let's say you got a booth selling delicious cookies, and I just walked up there.
Gee, that's a really far-fetched scenario.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, what if – I mean, if I just walked up there and stared at your cookies, you would initiate contact, right?
Oh, definitely. Like, that's a big point of contention when I hire in people. It's like, no, you always engage. Like, you shouldn't make it to the front of my booth without being engaged. If you're making eye contact with me or my product, like, I'm going to greet you and entice you to come over.
Let's face it, you sell delicious desserts. People are making eye contact with your product.
Yeah, no, nobody looks at me. I mean, I could rob them at gunpoint at my booth. They would never be able to give a physical description.
Well, the pie
which is why you're wanted in 14 states.
Shh. Giving away my secrets now, Joe.
Hey.
The wanted poster is a bearded man. So
yeah. The wanted poster says that I'm 7'2", I have a beard, and I may or may not have been wearing Uggs.
So Big Adam might be arrested if he goes to certain states.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we really should give Adam the heads up on that. It's a terrible, terrible misconception there.
But yeah, it's and I understand a lot of the guys who make games go into it because they're good at making games or want to do that. But if you want to sell your games,
hire somebody,
play and get popular. Yeah, either hire somebody or take some public speaking courses.
Hey, MAGFest indie gamers or indie game developers, I will be attending next year. I will happily work hours at your booth and sell your shit.
I will say it was depressing when I would go look at a game. And I would, you know, watch someone else play it. And if there's like an open booth or, you know, they have multiple setups and the guy who's running the booth is just standing there.
Oh,
See me looking at the game. Approach me. Talk to me.
Or, like, hey, man, come have a seat here. We got an open controller right here.
Yeah. Or there was one where I played and when I was done, like normally after I play a game, I try to engage in conversation with the guy who's developing it, because sometimes they think, oh, people are just here. After I offer them a seat to play the game, they're just going to play it and hit the road. They don't need to like in depth engage in everyone, which I understand. But after that initial one, I make the attempt to ask questions, get comments. After the one game I played, when I was finished with it, the guy running the booth just got a card, a button, handed it to me, said thank you. That was it.
Well, even
I don't understand that.
It was like just a routine of like, here's your stuff, bye.
Next.
Yeah, here's what I was told to do, so I'm doing it. At the risk of sounding like a crotchety old woman, there were straight up vendors that I did not buy stuff from because I was at their booth looking at their stuff and they were on their phone.
Yeah. And I understand, back in the day, you saw that a little bit more when MAG was smaller, but it was also because a lot of times those vendors would show up one deep and then stay there for like 12 hours a day. And you're just like, okay, yeah. But now, man, you know, they're
now
all showing up.
There's
there,
dozens
three
of
them.
Booths. You got to get people to buy your shit,
and that's,
or they're going two booths down to buy their shit instead.
And I give John and his girlfriend a lot of credit, man. It's actually her more so than
it
John.
Is entirely her, actually.
Yeah. She was, I mean, making eye contact when people were near the booth. She's looking like, you know, she's already got her smile ready. Yeah. As soon as they come, hey, what's up? You can touch anything. Oh, you interested in something? I'll show it to you. You know, just bam, bam, bam. And I mean, they made bank.
If she wasn't there, John wouldn't sell shit.
No.
Playing building something. Yeah. I love John.
Hey,
but
we've
always told him for years that he's a very amazing artist and a terrible salesperson.
Yeah.
And thankfully, his girlfriend is an amazing salesperson.
Oh, I told her. I said, she's top notch. I'm like, you ever want to come up for an event?
I should use her name instead of girlfriend. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that'd be nice to do.
That lady that was with him. No,
I
would
like,
hire
human,
her in a
I
heartbeat.
Think?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, she knows, and she was happy because it was like, hey, how you? I asked her Friday night, how's it going? She's like, I've already paid for our whole trip.
Yeah,
whole rest of the weekend was profit for them. I'm like, well, fuck yeah, you know. And they were talking to people. I'll give, you know, we teased John, but you know, he was talking to a lot of the people who were interested. And generally, he fielded the whole when people were like, hey, do you have this or could you make this? John was like, okay, yeah, I'm the maker guy. Hey, what's up? You know, what's up? So they already have ideas for next year.
Yeah.
You know, other stuff they're going to bring, and excited, you know, and that's what MAG should be, man. You go there as a vendor, one, know your audience.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to sell some anime stuff, but it's music and games festival. If you stick to video games, I was even telling them, keep an eye out on what's big this year. You know, if, you know, we got the new Mass Effect game drop, and if there's something that starts becoming like a really popular item from it, take advantage of that next MAG because it'll be fresh.
No. Uncharted's coming out in 2 months. I'm sure there's going to be some big stuff from there.
Because I mean, the Pip
Doom
Boys,
coming out.
Oh God!
Eventually,
yeah.
Everyone who wants a Pip Boy is going to get a Pip Boy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, the fucking the BFG or something like that. You know, like come on.
Yeah, like Pip Boys are not going to be huge next year. I'm sure a couple will sell if they're there, but it's not going to be like this year when Fallout is still fresh in everybody's mind.
Yeah, and
when half the people that were cosplaying were rolling up in Vault 111 suits.
Or How many quiets were there, which was fun to watch.
Yeah. I thought John's stuff was great too. There were a couple vendors that were there that I was a little bit disappointed with, where it was just like, okay, so you own an embroidery machine and you bought fleece. Good job.
And there's a couple though, everybody, you're like, Fizzman, you know, you walk over there, you're going to see some cool shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fizzman's the shit.
It is, yeah. And you kind of start to figure out which vendors are good. Which ones are just there to fucking sell off their leftover stock of anime energy drinks.
I think John, even though Fallout's going to be a little older next year, I think John still needs to stock up on mini nukes. Because those were gone the first day.
Yeah, they already said they're bringing more mini nukes. But that's a versatile thing that I have never seen that. You know, a mini nuke, a storage container. Like,
yeah.
That's something that'll sell again next year, yeah. But with Pit
Plus
Boys,
you can open it and get high as shit immediately. Just take a deep breath. Oh, you are fucked.
You know, that was not given to me as a selling point for that, and I'm quite disappointed.
I got a random text from a certain somebody Sunday night that it was just, I'm higher than your hotel room right now.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one. But since we talked about some of the indie games, there are a few that I did want to touch upon, again, mainly because they were awesome enough to contact us first, and those guys get priority, because if you like us, we like you. But we already mentioned Rogamon, which, again, this will go down as one of the dumbest games I've ever played in my life, and it speaks to me sexually because it is just fucking... This is like SML the video game.
Yeah. My friend Sean is now wearing a shirt that says Hot Cock, like HAWTCAWK.
Yeah, and Ashley has one that says Miss Steak, which is like a cow with milk squirting everywhere. It's just the game is ridiculous. Pickle Pimp might be the greatest character of gaming history. And and people need to check out that game. It's Rogamon, it's like Pokemon, but Rogue. So Rogue Mon from Burger Circus. So go check that game out. Another game, Space Cats in Space from Robotic Potato Games.
A lot of potatoes going on here.
Hey, it's all about the potato.
No bias here.
Well, again, they contacted me. You contact me, I'm going to take care of you. That's how we are with this show. We take care of the people who take care of us, except for Pappy. He's a piece of shit. This one was like a twin stick shooter in space. Cool stuff. They had a music video animation on loop at the booth, which was kind of grating after a little bit, but looks cool, seems cool, and they have an awesome name and awesome humor to it. So Space Cats in Space from Robotic Potato Games. How can't you love that?
Is it a Steam game?
I believe it's coming to Steam. I think they're looking at consoles as well. I sent you demo for it,
yeah,
so you could give that a go for next week and give your impressions on it. I think it's still in like early development stage, so it's okay. I don't think it's available yet. I'm sure it's coming.
There's keep your eyes peeled.
Too many details for all these games. Lost Cave from Ganglyfish was a 2D puzzle platformer where you had to use the analog sticks to change the perspective.
Yeah, that was a mind fuck to watch.
It was, because the one would zoom in and out where the objects would get larger or bigger depending on the zoom, the perspective of the zoom, and then the other would go left and right, up, down, where you would move the objects and you would have to like climb areas, drop down into areas, freeze the action to shift things to finish
so
a platform.
If there was like a mountain range in the background, you could shrink it down, pull it closer, and use it as stairs.
Yeah.
Just as an example of what I saw. It was, crazy.
Again, Ganglyfish is the developer. The game is called Lost Cave. Check it out, because that game was baller as fuck.
It sounds amazing for somebody with way more ability than me.
Yeah. It's actually surprisingly easy to get into. But it ramps up fairly well. I got stumped on a few of them. You got to think. It requires some thinking. It's good stuff.
thinking? These are supposed to be games, Joe. I don't want to think.
But there's puzzles, so you kind of have to think. If you want a good mindless game, though, this one, easily my favorite game of the show. I enjoyed the game so much that I hand wrote an award that said SML Podcast Game of the Show, game spelled G-A-E-M, and then winner spelled WinRAR. On the side, I put in parentheses official and shit, and I presented it to them. I presented it to Mike of Berserk Studios. The game is called Just Shapes and Beats, and holy shit, I need this game in my life.
Yeah, well, the cool thing is that he framed your picture and put it next to, like, actual legitimate awards.
Like a PAX award, a Destructoid award, and then my piece of shit handwritten thing being treated like everything else. And I can't afford to make a pretty thing, but that is as sincere an award as you will ever get, because I spent an entire minute writing things.
Well, it's because you spent an entire hour at the booth too.
Yeah. The game, it's so hard to describe. The best way I could describe it is rhythm bullet hell.
Yeah.
Where things are exploding on screen or shooting on screen. You just got to avoid all the pink stuff and not get hit.
While jamming out the Danimal cannon.
Yeah, like all three of the main demo songs at MAGFest were all Danimal, which is fucking awesome right there. They had a hidden fourth song that was the Mortal Kombat theme song from the Immortals. And I asked if that was like a con exclusive, like a demo exclusive kind of treat. And they said no, they licensed the song and it will be in the full game.
Nice. Which I will never play because just watching it gave me palpitations.
It's aimed to come out summer and it's looking to hit everything like Steam, Xbox One, PS4, Wii U. I hope it does. I hope everybody gets a chance to play this game. I hope everybody does play this game, and I hope we could get them on this show much sooner than later, because this easily the highlight of my MAGFest. The game was just ridiculously cool.
So is your face.
I know.
Aww. So what did you play? Being so sweet.
So, Kat, did you play anything in the indie area that you liked?
I did not play anything in the indie area. I was all full arcade.
So what did you play? Yeah.
I played some touchscreen rhythm game from Korea, which I couldn't pronounce.
Is that that Blox game that you guys were in line for?
No, I never got to play the Blox, but that's okay. I got to say goodbye to Jess. It's okay. Forgive the Blox.
That's a good trick.
Yeah, the people on that game were dicks. They just wouldn't give it up for anyone.
Yeah, I hate that.
Well, all right. So what had happened was I was standing behind clearly a couple, right? So I figured that both of them are going to play. Well, it was a couple and then their two other friends who started on the outside machines and then just kept sidestepping over with this couple and continuing to play until they had reached my machine, at which point they all took a turn. So my one person deep line was behind five people playing.
Wow.
Because they kept sidestepping in.
That is dickish.
It was a total dick move, but... Like I said, I made my priorities. My priorities were people, and I'm okay with that decision. But
motherfuckers.
But I played a couple of like the rhythm games out of like Korea and Japan, and they had the four person Gradius.
Ooh,
machine there,
cool.
Which was awesome because it was like a bench. You could all sit down in it. And tag in, and all of the, like, I've never played another Gradius game, so I don't know if this is par for the course, but, like, all the big bosses were, like, fish or, like, sea creatures.
Was it Gradius or was it Darius Burst?
It might have been Darius. I don't
know. Because I saw Darius Burst at the show, and it was on, like, a double-wide monitor. We actually reviewed the PS4 version of the game couple of months back, and seeing it, the arcade version there, I thought was really awesome. And I'm wondering if that's what it was that you saw.
No, I'm pretty sure now that you say that that's what I played. But they had kind of done a better job this year in the arcade of like grouping similar style games together.
Yeah,
which I really appreciated.
It was laid out really well.
And then, you know, I got some of my nostalgia kick in because they had an old DDR Max 2 machine there.
So I'm going to interrupt real quick with something that our friend Tim Sheehy just sent me. He was telling me to come visit him in San Diego specifically for a restaurant called Lucha Libre Taco Shop.
Oh, Jesus.
And if actual Lucha Libres come in, there's a champs booth that they will be seated in. And you're better at this than I am. He told me it's a specific wrestler who he comes in regularly and he gets seated at the champs booth. A Lucha Libre style WWE wrestler, Joe. Come on.
In WWE?
Yeah, or former wrestler.
Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio. Thank you.
Really? Fucking Rey Mysterio goes there?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Holy shit.
It was a name I recognized immediately. They seat him at the champs booth. And if you come in your own lucha mask, you get a discount. And he said one of his best things is there's a bacon-wrapped taco.
Nice.
Booyaka, booyaka.
So if you want to go to tacosmackdown.com, if you live anywhere in or near the California area, go there and tell me how it is because it just looks amazing.
Taco Smackdown, holy shit.
.com. Yes. Yes.
Should approach them for a sponsorship deal.
Oh, holy my shit. God. I just
want to say this episode brought to you by tacosmackdown.com.
I sent out my very first legitimate email inquiring about a sponsorship.
From?
I doubt it'll ever happen, but there's one sponsor we have always talked about looking to get on this show.
I know, that's why I want to hear you say it out loud.
For 3 years, we've made jokes about it. I legitimately sent an email to Fleshlight.
Oh, goodness.
Looking for sponsorship. It'll never happen. I know it'll never happen. But fuck
you know,
it, I tried.
Maybe you're approaching it like the wrong way because you could approach them with like the promo for a box set of a small, medium, and large Fleshlight. And have it be the SML packet gift set, you know.
Oh my God.
You're welcome. That's free of charge.
If they get back to me and they're like, well, we need some more reasons why we should consider this, I'll do that.
You can hire me. I'm available for very affordable rates.
I did mention that our Twitter followers are 84% male, which...
I thought there were 84 people.
No, we're at like 300 some Twitter followers. We're creeping
and,
up there.
And so we have more people to follow us on Twitter than on the show.
That would always work.
And yeah. Also point out that one of our members is in a traveling band, so he could use one. You're very single, so I could use one. And you've been married for a long time.
So I can really use one.
So really, we are the target market.
A Fleshlight, if you're listening, we will come in your products.
Doritos, if you're listening, I will come in your products as well.
Oh, my God.
I do not support either of those statements from a personal standpoint. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine trying to get Doritos dust out of your...
Yeah, I could imagine.
Doritos
That's
dust
the really
out
terrible
of the coochie
part.
Hole.
That'd be worse than glitter.
Oh, my God.
Glitter.
And yes. Nothing's worse than glitter.
The SML podcast brought to you by Doritos. Delicious pussy dust.
I thought you were going to say brought to you by glitter vaginas.
Vajazzles.
Vajazzles. So
there's vajazzle.
A little bit of cool news that leaked out today. Or not leaked out, just came out today.
It came out.
My Fleshlights, they don't leak.
This news splattered all over the place.
No, like actual video game. I'm trying to steer it back on course a little.
I know.
Video came out from Capcom that Resident Evil 4, 5, and 6 are all coming to the Xbox One and PS4.
And they won't be bundled.
No, but they'll only be $20 each.
Yeah, I just like that they won't be bundled. It was funny someone pointing out, like, yeah, I don't have to buy the ones I don't like to get the one I do.
I'm sure after the last one is after Resident Evil 4 comes out, they'll sell a bundle, a disc bundle.
Yeah, but it won't be mandatory. That's what I'm saying. Is it's because I wouldn't mind trying 4, but I have no interest in 6.
6 actually comes out March 29th, so it'll be the first one out. Resident Evil 5 is coming over the summer, and then Resident Evil 4 in the fall. And a lot of people are echoing what you just said, where they want 4 but not 6. And they're like, well, why would they release them in reverse order? And that's exactly why they are releasing them in reverse order, because you're more likely to buy 6 if you have to wait for 4.
Yeah. Well, fuck, I might as well do this to kill time.
It's like, yep. Yeah, I never played Resident Evil 6. I have heard so much about it. I might try checking it out finally. And maybe I could find someone else who's getting it, because I know it has co-op in it. So that'd be fun.
I was going to say, if you want to try it on old consoles, hit me up.
Sorry, I'm new gen. Plus, I don't know, you would probably want it on PlayStation, which is gross.
I don't own any new gen console.
She has a PS3. There's nothing gross about a PS3.
It could be kind of gross.
No, I played.
You know, it's like, I could buy this Xbox One. Or I could buy this PS3. I would buy this PS3.
That wasn't a good decision.
It's a great decision for my wallet.
True.
I got a lot more games, too, for a lot less money.
Yeah, I got a PS3 and 10 games of my choice for $175.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
Really I can't judge that at all. No, you done smart.
I done good.
I told people I'm gonna start doing a fire sale on a lot of my belongings here to prep for a potential move. And someone was like, "Video games, you say?" And then I'm like, "Yeah, but they're mostly Xbox games." And then no response. It's like, temper expectations. I have a lot of Xbox games I might sell.
You'll have to let me know what you're unloading. Maybe I'll see one or two things.
Anna Montana.
You're not allowed to get rid of that.
No, I'm not. I wouldn't anyway. We haven't played it yet.
No one would buy it anyways.
there's very few, like, when I look at my collection, I mean, there's very few games that I'm not willing to part with. Like, I want to keep Jedi Empire and KOTOR. Even if I never play them, I just like having them. But my GTA collection, Beyond Good and Evil, games I look at, I'm like, I will never play this, like, ever.
Yeah.
And I just have to be honest with myself. My Xbox 360 Halo games, fuck, yeah. I mean, I own the whole Halo thing on the bone now, so what's the point?
You know? Not like you're going to get much for those old ones anymore, but...
No, but even just a couple of bucks here and there. I'm looking at volume over quality right now.
Yeah.
You know, I'm looking at vacuum tubes, specific vacuum tubes. If I have specific vacuum tubes, they can go for $1,000. If I have just regular old vacuum tubes, I saw someone selling a box for $2. I'm like, well, there's a lot in between there. I better start researching this shit.
Yeah, I saw Sean's post now, and that was fucking funny.
Yeah.
They're from the 40s and 50s, or 40s or 50s. Your mom's from the 40s or 50s. Yeah, she is.
Yeah, I was 55, actually. But yeah, it's... Yeah, I'm going to be selling shit. Probably my whole DVD collection. I'm Blu-ray now.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny is I didn't even realize that when I put all my DVDs up, I didn't go through them. So I found I still owned a copy of the Happy Video Game Nerd, so that's in the landfill now.
Oh, no one else understands that.
Yeah, well, Kat knows.
I do.
She's just not as easily amused as Joe.
I am. Yeah. Your misery entertains me, Pappy.
Well... Sometimes I forget that we're just on audio, so it's like I was smiling and giggling a little bit, but you can't see that, so.
Yeah, sorry, I don't do that whole camera shit.
No, because, I mean, I don't have, like, if I sold everything disposable to me, I'd make maybe $1,000. I'm like, I would like to raise $6,000 the next 3 months. That ain't happening from selling my shit.
Yeah. Hey, at least you realize that where I look at all the walls I have here filled with crap and also know that if I were to sell everything, I might get $1,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's valuable to you don't mean shit to anybody else.
So I'm just hoping I have something that doesn't mean shit to me that's valuable to somebody else. That's my hope.
Yeah, well, that's always the dream.
Like with the old vacuum tubes and the old 1940-oscope, maybe if I just find a collector of random old shit willing to pop up a couple bucks for
just
it.
Just go to Pawn Stars. You're in Vegas.
Yeah.
The whole thing is rigged, so you're better off going to any other pawn shop.
Come on, Rick. I know you got the cash.
Didn't I have a game that you wanted me to talk about?
There's a bunch of games we got to talk about, but I'm not sure which one you were going to talk. Oh, fuck. I didn't get the info for that game. Shit.
Which one?
We Are the Dwarves.
Oh, you should probably get that.
I gotta look up information during the show. Oh no!
Please hold the line.
Hey, Pappy. There's a game that you can remind people about. You could do a quick little discussion of it. It's called 6180 The Moon, developed and published by Turtle Cream, and it just released February 25th today for the Wii U for $3.99.
Cool.
So why don't you tell people about that game while I look up the information I should have looked up already?
Yeah, you're the moon and you're looking for the sun, and it's just a platform puzzler. And I had a lot of fun with it. I got all the way to the third stage. Joe beat the game in the amount of time it took me to get to the third stage, because that's the difference between Joe and I. Because you play the whole game, you find the sun, and then there's everything gets flipped upside down, and you go all the way back to where you belong. But it's just a really simple black and white game. You're the moon, and you roll. And yeah, it's what's really fun about it is there's no gravity. So if you fall like through a gap, you at the bottom, you come back through the top. So you actually use that wraparound physics to progress in the game. And it's a beautiful relax. It's almost a meditative game. I put it up there with Threes in terms of you just kind of play and kind of let things happen. And we had the creator on the show months ago, right, Joe?
Yeah,
and it was a really nice
fun talking with him.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, we learned about Korean servers being shut off at midnight as a nationwide law to prevent people from spending too much time gaming. That was their overreaction to, you know, the unfortunate incidences that happen occasionally of people, you know, playing video games so long that their children starve to death. I feel that maybe social services should just be a little more active in your country rather than shutting down all servers.
Well, like I said, it did just come out for the Wii U, and there's a little bit of a change to it. The entire game has been reconfigured for the Wii U, not to just like play on the controller or to play on the TV. The stages have been redesigned, and the camera has been moved around so that half the screen is on your gamepad and the other half is on the TV.
That's really crazy.
It is trippy as fuck, and it makes the game a lot more difficult in a good way. Because you have to actually pay attention to both screens looking back and forth. It does add a little guideline on whatever screen that the orb isn't on, so you could tell where it's going to land. And then the only other thing I wish is that you had an option to switch which screen was which, because it would start on the TV, I would jump up, and it would appear on the gamepad, which is in my lap. And I would kind of prefer it the other way. If that makes sense, so that I jump up onto the TV instead of jump up down onto the gamepad.
I just imagine you jumping onto the TV.
It's it is crazy as hell, though. The way that they adjusted it for the Wii U is such a cool and unique twist to the game. And it really makes it feel unique for the Wii U. And it's still only $4. So if you have a Wii U, buy the goddamn game. I think we said it before that you need to buy this game, but now that we have an actual review system,
it's a play it.
It's a buy it.
Buy it.
We don't have
buy
a play
it. Try it. Deny it.
Yeah, you dumb asshole.
Ratings.
Yeah, buy it, try it, or deny it.
Oh, we have similar ratings over at Scrumptious Cast. Like, this movie was fucking terrible. Gouge out your eyes with salt-laced toothpicks rather than watching this film.
Or I make my puns and you just stare at me disappointedly.
Man, you're so negative over there.
Dude.
Stab out your eye holes.
We kind of specialize in direct-to-DVD horror films.
Yeah, true. I could see that.
Yeah, sometimes they don't even get put on DVD because they're not worth actually printing on physical mass. Yeah.
Direct to the Ethernet films.
Yeah. Straight to Hulu.
Always good. Always good.
You know you're in for high quality at that point.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So now that we talk about 6180 The Moon, I'm going to jump on to something else quick before we get back to you. That way I could jump to you when I need to take a break from talking. Sound good?
Thank God.
Because there are a handful of games that we need to discuss this week. The first one is called Pixel Piracy, developed by Quadro Delta, published by 505 Games. It released last week, February 16th, $14.99. It is like a pirate sim management kind of style game mixed with 2D navigation where you start off the game by yourself. It's you and one other dude, I guess. And then you got to go hire a pirate from a tavern. And then you got to earn money, build a ship. And just, it's a sim game that's pixelated.
Makes me want to play pirates. Puzzle Pirates.
it's really cool because there's the whole creation aspect in designing your own ship. You can go to different islands and, you know, ransack treasure chests and kill other pirates and take over shit. And you could bump into pirates on the seas and you can either commandeer their boat or you could sink the fucker and ransack it, which is fun.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a lot more sim based than pirate based because you have to keep track of all of your pirates. You have to make sure that they're paid. You have to make sure that they're fed and happy. You have to level them up, manage their stats, manage their weapons. There is a lot more stat management than piracy in the game, which might not make the game for everyone, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I did run into a kind of annoying problem, which was apparently an issue in the PC version when it came out, where after I redesigned my boat, my pirates would not eat at all. Like, I had food out on the boat for everyone to eat, and they refused to eat it. They wouldn't touch anything. I tried a whole bunch of different things. Some people were saying, you know, just restart the game or reset your system, see if that helps. Other people are like, just force them to move into the area by the food multiple times. They'll eventually do it. The only thing that allowed me to get my guys to eat again was to completely destroy my ship and rebuild it.
Huh.
That sounds like a Gandhi-level mutiny right there.
But once I redesigned my ship, put the food back out, they ate and they were happy again. So that it was an irritating bug. I don't know what caused it, but it worked itself out in the end. So I don't have to bitch too much about that issue. Achievement hunters, you're going to hate the game because there are achievements that do not end in a 0 or a 5.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, like the first achievement I got, I think, was 48, and then there's another 48. I think there's 96 in there. So people who hate weird numbered achievements, you're going to hate this game. The funniest part is because of the achievements I got in the game, my achievements now end in a 0.
Oh, because you played enough games with weird numbers.
Yeah, so this game fixed my score, and I'm going to keep it fixed for now because I'm getting very close to 250,000, and I think it'd be cool to hit that on the dot.
Jesus.
Hey, I don't aim for many achievement goals.
I'm at 14,000 lifetime total.
Yeah, I know. It's a cool game.
And Drunk Shiz got mad at me and actually yelled at me for not completing the game.
How'd you fucking beat Walking Dead? All you have to do is fucking beat the game. Yeah.
To the point of the next day, he actually apologized to me on Twitter. Like, I'm really sorry, man. I didn't realize how much of an asshole
because
I was
he
being.
Re-listened to it, and it was hilarious. Drunk shiz. He gets angry, man. But Pixel Piracy, I'm going to give it a try. It's an emphatic try. Like, it's a really, really cool game, but it is definitely not for everyone. Like, you can't look at the cutesy colors and pixel graphics and think that this is some, like, platformer action game, because this is straight up sim. Like, there's hardcore resource management in the game, but it's cool as fuck. It's fun.
You're fun.
Plus, all the guys, like, when you issue a command, you hear all your little dudes go, "Arr, aye, aye, Captain."
Yarr. Okay.
Yeah, it's good shit. Good shit. Next game is The Flame in the Flood, developed and published by the Molasses Flood. It released February 24th for $20, $19.99.
Oh, this sounds like Cat playing Don't Starve.
Cat, you are going to want to check out The Flame in the Flood.
Is there fire involved?
I was going to say, are there flames involved? You have my attention.
Yes, there's campfires, and the game is very, very, very light on story. It is, a lot of people have compared it to like a fucked up baby of Don't Starve and The Binding of Isaac.
Ooh.
Visually, the game is gorgeous. It is a beautiful, beautiful game. The soundtrack in the game is bluegrassy, just incredible music. The game starts out where you're at a campfire in a world that's been flooded, and you got to survive. There's your story.
But can I set more things on fire?
It's not a game about destruction. It's a game about survival. It's very, very much stay alive as long as you can. There are two modes to the game. One is a campaign mode, which has a set ending. It has checkpoints. I believe it's 10 areas that you have to get through before you get to the end of the river. You start off on an area, you pick up your supplies, you hop onto a raft, and you float down the flooded river to different areas with there's islands along the way, there's like churches that you could stop at, there's wilderness areas, campgrounds, and you have to just scavenge for supplies, keep track of your equipment and the supplies that you do have. Inventory space is a major pain in the ass early in the game. There are ways to make pouches to increase your inventory, but it gets, you're going to do a lot of wondering, like, should I keep this? Should I keep this? Should I keep this? Your dog companion can hold a handful of things. You could store a couple of things on your raft. You can't really fight. So in the beginning, you might see like rabbits that you can make a snare trap to catch and skin. But you're eventually going to run into wolves and boars, and you can't really fight back. So they're going to fuck your shit up. The best thing you can
do... Just like real life.
Yeah. The best thing that you can do is either avoid those areas or have enough supplies where you can make, like, a spear trap or something. Where, like, I would go near a campfire because they won't go near the fires. Make the trap and then set it just far enough away that I could stand there and they won't attack me, but they'll still eventually come close enough to run into the trap and get killed by it. And then you can skin them, you can get their food, get their meat, you cook it at the campfire. I know later in the game, like, you can lure some of the enemies into like snakes and the snakes will kill them, but snakes will come after you. It's really, really good stuff, but it just kind of throws you into it and you don't know what you're doing. Like, I tried streaming it the first time I did it and I was just confused. I was like, am I doing this right? Am I fucking something up?
And to my every gaming experience.
Yeah.
It took me a couple of runs until I kind of figured out, like, this is just the game. Like, I just need to survive and get as far as I can and hopefully eventually get to the end. After campaign, they do have an endless mode. No checkpoints. It's just get on the river and get as far as you can, stay alive as long as you can. And that's where the true survival comes in. Like, the campaign is practice mode for Endless. And it's, again, it's definitely not a game for everyone. It's been getting a mix of rave reviews and people who just don't get it, not giving it good reviews. I'm gonna cop out and go with a try it here, just because I know it's not for everyone.
That sounds like a good way to seg into me.
if you're into stuff like Don't Starve, I would Forest. Definitely pick it up. Yeah, if you're into survival games, resource management, you...
If you're into The Forest, what the fuck is wrong with you? If you hate yourself.
Hey, you know, it must be Tuesday.
And then I gotta find out who did the soundtrack, because the soundtrack is so good.
That's what she said.
And visually, just gorgeous. Like, it's a good week for games. I'll say that. Definitely.
Yay!
Good. Next up, we'll go back to Pappy. We Are the Dwarves, developed by Whale Rock. I believe it releases tomorrow, the 26th, for $14.99, if my research is correct.
Hey, Kat, how do you feel about dwarves?
Considering that I might be one, I think I'm okay with them.
How do you feel about dwarves in spacesuits with shotguns?
You have my attention.
Well, We Are the Dwarves is, you're spacefaring people. Unfortunately, both times I tried to do the opening cinematics, there was no sound. So I can't tell you the story. But I can tell you in 35 minutes of gameplay, because unfortunately life happened and that's all I got to put into it yesterday, I died 13 or 14 times.
Nice.
It's a nice average right there. It is a strategy game. It is a real time with pause, if this makes sense. You are a dwarf, you're looking for new materials. You can also find materials to strengthen your spacesuit, because if your spacesuit runs out of power, then you're dead. And there's ways to heal yourself and all of that. But what they do with it is it's a fully rendered three-dimensional world. And nice. You have to hold down left click and drag it to spin the world to see things. So, and you know, I didn't get too far to see many enemies, but the little guys that you run into, they throw spears at you. And so what you can do is you've got your regular shot, you've got a straight shot with more distance, and then you've got like a short wide where you can hit everybody shot. And then you've got a little bit of a shield that you can activate. So I found, okay, it's really good. If I find the enemy near the edge, shoot him, he falls off the edge and dies. And then I'll take out his buddies. Let me hit spacebar to pause the game. That's the big thing. You hit spacebar to pause it, and then you can kind of assess, what do I need to do next? You can give your dwarves orders, all right, do this or do this, and then hit spacebar to watch the action happen. It turns out that spacebar slows down everything, so you can still get murdered while you're contemplating what the fuck to do.
Also
turns out that you really have to pay attention to your environment, because what I thought I was hiding behind a tree, I was hiding behind a bush. So the spears were going right through the bush into my body.
Nice.
So, and the whole shooting the enemies off a platform does work for you as well. I blew myself right the fuck off. Because there's a little bit of a kick to the shotgun.
I'm kind of sad that we don't have this for posterity and I could be editing this right now. But that's okay.
Yeah.
You could always do it this weekend, Pappy.
Yeah.
But it
is hard. It is not an easy game. It's not a forgiving game. I actually paid attention to the tutorials, and I still got my ass kicked.
Something made you pay attention to a game?
The look of the game. It's when you boot the game up, it looks like the kind of game like, hey, we're going to tell you how to play this. If you don't read it, you're fucked. It's just that easy. Reload times are important and all of that, because you have to decide, okay, if I long shot this guy and then use my wide shot for the two coming at me, I still need to kill the two coming at me, and I got reload, so I can't use my special attacks. I got to use my regular bullet. Do I have enough time to kill them before they kill me? Like, that comes in. So what it comes down to, and there are no difficulty options. It was just play this game. So I'm pretty sure I sold a copy to a coworker, but I give this a very hearty try it, because if this is not your thing, you are not going to have fun.
I'm going to overrule your verdict for now. I want you to put another week into it, because I think a half hour isn't enough time.
No, you're right, but I personally will never give it a buy it for me. It's the kind of game that I can't say everyone out there will enjoy it. It's not. It doesn't matter how much time I put into it. It's a very difficult strategy game.
Well, I still think...
If you are into real-time strategy, get the damn game. You're going to love it. You're going to love the challenge level. You're going to love the story. Because, I mean, fortunately, you're unlocking more information about the story and everything as you play. But no, I'd say a try it, because I can't say – there's some games out there that I think anyone will enjoy, like Threes, 6180 the Moon. But We Are the Dwarves is for a certain subsect of gamers who will love the shit out of it and constantly be like, well, I got through it without without dying in 14 minutes. Well, I did it in 13 minutes. Well, I died 412 times, so fuck you. Now, I'm going to try and put some more time into it for next week.
Yeah, I want to hear more thoughts on it next week. Because it sounds really cool.
But it might just end up being a lot of swearing, just so you know.
Hey, that works. a couple more games to tackle quick. I Love My Circle is a game that releases March 1st. It is developed by Joshua Burr for iOS and Android. It is only going to be $1.99 with no in-app purchases, so I'm already a fan of it. I grabbed it today for the iPad, and you are in a circle. You are a red dot in a circle, and you need to stay in that circle no matter what is happening. Like, blocks are going to come flying at you. Lines are going to come flying at you. Things are going to try their hardest to push you out of that circle. And it's all controlled by one finger. You just touch anywhere on the screen. And as you move your finger, the dot moves around. So you have to move the dot to avoid all the obstacles. If you do get knocked out, it's okay. You have about a second, maybe 2 seconds, to get back into the circle. But you got to get back in the circle, or you're going to lose.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to.
It sounds incredibly simple. My first game, I lasted about 15 seconds.
Nice.
Wow.
Ashley can confirm that I'm about 15 seconds everywhere, but...
sex joke.
Womp womp. It is stupidly addictive, because I got that 15 seconds. I'm like, no, fuck that. I can do better. My top time right now is about a minute 20, and I think that's about halfway through the difficulty stages. So it's definitely not going to be easy to beat it, because obviously as you start lasting longer, things start moving quicker, bigger things come at you. The shapes are all different gradients of gray and black. The lighter they are, the easier they are to push around. Like if it runs into you, they'll fly away from you. If they're darker, they're going to knock you the fuck out of the way. Which means out of the circle. There are multiple modes to the game. There is standard, standard plus, which doesn't unlock until you beat standard, which needless to say, I have not done. There is a vampire mode, which I have unlocked. And then there is a bomb mode, which I have not unlocked because I'm bad at the game. There is also Vampire Plus and Bomb Plus, which you unlock after beating those respective modes, but we have already established that I'm bad, so those are not unlocked. Vampire mode is basically the same as standard, where things are coming at you, but when you leave the circle, the screen starts to darken around you, and even when you go back in the circle, it doesn't matter. Like, it dims much slower than in a normal game, and there are also little red orbs that fly around that you can pick up to regain some of the light back for the stage. But if you know, when you're out of the circle and you come back in, if you don't pick up the orbs to regenerate the color as soon as it's filled, you're done. Huh. It's a fun little twist. I actually did better at that mode than normal, because you know, it's all randomized, so you might get a lot of good orbs coming at you. Or you can have something where, like, a giant thing comes out first off and you lose a stage in 10 seconds. I hooked Jacob up because he's going to be sending in his impressions of this in a second game, probably for next week. And I think he said that his best time so far is like 24 seconds. Yeah, my best at around a minute 20. I'm pretty happy with how I'm doing. It's incredibly addictive. And the fact that it's only $2, it makes it an easy buy it. Especially because there's no in-app purchases, there's no advertising. You buy the game and it's yours. The end.
I don't understand this concept anymore.
A novel idea, I know. Next game is Reagan Gorbachev.
Shiz is playing that one, right?
Yes. Developed and published by Team 2-Bit. It released on the 24th for $9.99 on the Xbox One. You play as Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev, who are at some kind of summit, and they get kidnapped and imprisoned, and you have to fight your way out of the prison and destroy an evil supercomputer.
And things.
You do this by it's gameplay is similar to Hotline Miami, top down style. If you get hit, you die. There's a lot of stealth though, so it's not as like brutally difficult as Hotline Miami. It's a lot more accessible. To make the stealth easier, Ronald Reagan can attack with his katana. And Mikhail Gorbachev has a fucking blow dart gun and darts to with a lethal poison on them to kill people. I can't even explain the game without laughing because it is so ridiculously stupid. And it's the good, like, it is straight out of the 80s. The music is phenomenal in the game. I'm hoping to get the guys from Team 2-Bit on possibly next week to talk about the game some more. There's 32 stages in it.
Wow.
It's a decently long game. In between stages, when you complete a stage, there's trivia questions where they ask, like, who was married in 1953? And you have to choose Gorbachev or Reagan. So who got married in 53?
You did.
No, guess.
53, Gorbachev.
Wrong. It was Ronald Reagan.
Fuck you.
And there's achievements for getting the trivia questions right. For 3, 10, and 20 questions. Which I've already got my 20 questions. And that's, of course, great. Shiz had a bitch out and Googled the shit during his stream. It's like, come on, man up and just 50-50, guess like a real man. The game,
guess like the rest of us.
The game is just over the top, ridiculously funny, and an easy buy it. And I really hope that things work out that they come on next week because it's just stupidly fun. We need more stupidly fun games like this.
Mom's a stupidly fun game.
She is. Good stuff. Final game to discuss this week is called Tiny Troopers Joint Ops, developed by Epiphany Games, published by Wired Productions.
That is a lot of games.
Yeah, it is. It releases tomorrow, today, February 26th, for $9.99, so another fairly cheap game. You may recognize the Tiny Troopers games as mobile games, which they are on our Windows phones, Pappy. This takes the first game. It adds a whole bunch of stuff. The home version actually released first on the PS4 last year. This version on the Xbox One actually adds a brand new zombies campaign with 4 separate missions on there.
Yeah, but I don't need more zombies.
Wow, you got really echoey there.
I don't need more zombies.
It's not like, I don't know, it's hard. It's not like Call of Duty zombies.
Yeah, no,
it's,
I know. I'm just like, I don't know, I feel like everyone and their mother's throwing in a zombies option.
Well, it's an added bonus. for Xbox gamers.
You're an added bonus.
So I'll happily take an added bonus.
That's fine. Yeah, I mean, it's hey, here's some special, you know.
It's
that's fine.
Top down shooter, kind of isometric-y style, where you need to lead your troops, twin stick shooter, to solve certain missions, whether it's eliminating all of a vehicles in a level, or rescuing hostages, or making sure that a reporter doesn't get killed. Just solve the missions.
Just want to kill a reporter.
Move on.
Move on.
And have fun. Yeah. They took out any of the free-to-play style microtransactions. Those are all gone. And in turn, it makes the game a lot more fun to play than on Windows Phone, because you don't have to worry about, like, hyper-grinding to...
Yeah, if you're releasing a game on a console and you leave the microtransactions in there, you're kind of being an asshole.
Yeah, no, there's a saying for that. It's called "fuck you."
Yeah, I'm really digging it, and the fact that it's only $10, it's a buy it for me. It's good stuff. It's fun. It's not going to win Game of the Year, but for $10, it's a fun little shooter action game.
Yeah, besides, Punch Club has already won Game of the Year.
But yeah.
The Fight Bear, very good.
Yeah, followed by Fallout 4 DLC.
A ton of awesome games coming out, so it's good getting to talk about them all.
So how about some seriousness? What the fuck happened to Xbox this week?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows, really.
It looks like it wasn't a DDoS or anything. It just happened.
Yeah, for the people who don't know, for those who mostly focus on PC or even on PlayStation, Xbox has had a lot of intermittent live issues. It hasn't been...
Not just live issues. I couldn't play a Blu-ray unless I played fucking offline mode.
Yeah, because of live.
Yeah, if it's like, you can't watch this Blu-ray, you have to download it. Like, what? It didn't even make any goddamn sense.
I know. It probably asked if you had the disc for the app.
Yeah.
Something like
which,
that.
You know, yeah, because I put a Blu-ray in, asshole.
I mean,
you know?
The easy solution is to switch your console to offline mode, and then there's zero problems, unless you're a game-sharing dickhole, and then you can't play your shit, which, fuck you, stop game-sharing, buy your own shit.
Well, it's also no. Even when I went offline, some of my games wouldn't even work. Like, I tried to play a couple of them. Fallout 4 worked. That was at that point I gave up trying others.
All your games should have worked, unless for some reason your console isn't set as your home console,
which doesn't make any damn sense.
That's the only reason why things wouldn't work, unless it was an online game. But yeah, when you're set to offline mode, there should be no issues playing your own content.
Yeah, having a $500 Blu-ray player was a little upsetting for my whole day off on Tuesday.
Well, then you just set your shit to offline mode and play your games.
I was the Red Menace.
It wasn't as bad as some of the PlayStation outages where it would be like 100% down for days. Yeah. This would be like down for a couple hours, come back for a couple hours, down for a couple hours. And the most annoying part is that they're not saying what the fuck the problem was or
the
is.
The most annoying part was when it would fake me out. And like, I'm on Netflix for like 8 minutes. And then it was like, oh no, we have issues again. Whatever the fuck you're watching, screw you. It's like, oh, God damn it.
it certainly didn't help when I had so many games to play and I come back from MAGFest where I already missed nearly a week of time playing games, and I try to start a game, and it's like, Xbox Live is down.
Something else to throw out real quick. Fallout 4 Season Pass is only going to be on sale until the end of this month.
No, it's not only going to be on sale. It's only going to be at the current price until the end of the month.
Okay.
The way you made it sound is that they won't sell it anymore. The reality is, at the end of the month, it's going
sale.
Up.
It's
going up to $50.
It's only
going
to be as cheap as it is now.
It's like the same thing happened with Dying Light, where they released the season pass, and then they start planning the content, and they're like, oh shit, the content we're making is going to be significantly more involved than that $30 season pass price. We're going to have to bump the price of the season pass up. The good news is, if you buy it before it goes up in price, you bought it and you own it and you get all that content for $30. If you don't buy it, you're going to have to pay $50 when you do buy it.
I had one coworker who actually went and bought the season pass thing at GameStop because they were worried about the Xbox issues.
Yeah.
I'm not taking a risk.
I got to do the same thing. I need to grab it before the end of the month. There is a chance, like I know Dying Light, the season pass went up in price. Some places still sell like the codes or the cards in stores for whatever the price on the card was. So if it was, I think that was originally 20 and it went up to 30. Like if you still find it in store that has it and is selling the code, you'll get it for that original price.
You got to find it.
Yeah. So there's a chance that if you miss out on Fallout by the end of the month, you might still be able to find a card at GameStop or Amazon or Best Buy that sells it for $29.99 and still get the season pass code for $29.99.
But don't risk it. If you have the money and you have the Xbox, just go do it now.
Whatever platform. It's not just Xbox. It's all platforms.
Yeah, but I forget about other platforms.
Yeah, me too.
Get it on Steam, Cat. Steam.
I know I actually muted my mic because I was going to look that up on Steam right now.
If you got $30 left over for MAGFest, here's a wise investment because we all know that we, people here right now, will get our money's worth.
Yeah, good stuff.
Just since it also gives you access to all the mods.
True. Oh,
I've put a couple mods on.
Well, yeah. Well, remember, this is the first time that Fallout mods will be available on
console, yeah.
So I'm wondering, is it going to be all mods or like approved mods?
I feel like it's just going to be approved mods. There's no way they could do all for console.
Yeah, it's only going to be selected approved ones that work on console.
Okay, so yeah, because I was worried about some of those mods get a little creepy.
Yeah, there's no way it's going to be a free-for-all of every mod in the game showing
Although,
up.
I mean, if there's a mod that turns a Deathclaw into Macho Man Randy Savage, I want that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't see that one coming through.
I don't know. You can get it in Skyrim.
Yeah, but not on console. That's the big thing. Is they're going to be a lot more regulated on console than they will on the free for all that is PC.
Yeah, it'll be cool to see any mods. Honestly, be fun.
Yeah, there's some really good ones out there.
I want a Tourette's mod. That's what I want.
Well, no, most of my mods are cosmetic. I mean, truth be told, most of them are cosmetic.
Bigger bulge?
No, we're...
Big dick mod.
Well, no, there's some of them where you can't wear certain, like, pieces, like outfits or clothing underneath certain pieces of armor. There's a mod that gets rid of that, so you can wear armor and whatever else
dress.
You want.
So I can finally rock the sequin dress and the metal arms
and have armor. Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect example.
Nice.
And then there's another one I got where it turns your whole silver shroud armor into it's red and black instead of gray and black, and it looks awesome.
Cosmetic mods.
Yeah, cosmetic mods.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see a lot of those on console.
I have a feeling that's probably what a majority of them are going to be.
Probably.
Because they're easy and they're not game-breaking.
Yeah, and I also, honestly wouldn't mind some of the mods where the other people went through all the trouble of making, like, Beavis and Butthead. Can I just download your work so that my guy looks like Beavis instead of having to try and replicate it? That'd be nice.
They do have some of those that you can get, like, prefab character designs.
So, good news, everybody.
So enjoy that, console people. It still will never beat a Macho Man Randy Savage dragon flying in going, oh, yeah.
Yeah, but at least they know it's going to work on my console instead of having to fuck with my system specs.
Even better news, I just found a crockpot recipe to cook all the pierogies tomorrow morning at work instead of having to do it tonight.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So,
and it actually for 48 pierogies. Hey, how convenient.
So how about we tackle a little bit of news and rumors before we wrap things up?
Sure.
Some rumors floating around is apparently Remedy has filed a trademark for a game called Alan Wake Returns.
So we my Little Pony game?
We may see a new Alan Wake game coming sometime in the future.
Well, that makes more sense than My Little Pony.
Yeah, it does. You'd think so. Tomorrow, there is a new Nintendo Direct happening scheduled for Pokemon. And the word right now is that two new games are going to be announced called Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon, as trademarks for those have been discovered. Again,
so you'll be farming Pokemon?
Probably.
Day and night.
Pikachu, get away from the goddamn crops. Fucking lightning storms everywhere.
I know
how you get ants.
Yeah, most Pokemon would be shitty farmers, actually.
They would.
Like Charizard, just walking around, just setting all my corn on fire.
That's my type of farming, right?
That's how you get popcorn, though.
What are you? I'm a fire farmer. Look at all this fire.
Look at it. It's glorious.
Oh, remember how we discussed the whole no one's going to buy a free game thing with Rocket League? The numbers have come out, and so far, not including PlayStation Plus, it has sold 4 million units.
And that's over all consoles, though, right?
Yeah. I don't think it includes Xbox yet, though.
Okay. So, yeah, because you said it was like 3.5 million or something like that sold even before it came to Xbox. So, even if that does include Xbox, that means 500,000 people bought it.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then, speaking of Rocket League, there's going to be some new DLC hitting Rocket League.
Will it affect your trophies?
I mentioned this. I don't think it affected the DLC car affected my achievement. I think it's because I went into like standby with the game and then went back to it. And I think there was just some kind of glitch with that, because once I exited and then went back in, it works fine.
Okay, well, that's good.
But yeah, it's going to be a fucking Batmobile.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Nice. 4 million copies just across the PS4 and the PC. That's, yeah, just that.
Yeah,
League's freaking fun as hell.
If you include PlayStation Plus, the game's over 10 million.
But I will say, they also announced that there were 11 million subscribers, which would suggest that 7 million copies were downloaded for free in July on PS4, which is crazy. But
yeah, I just said with PlayStation Plus, it's over 10 million. So
yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, dude. But I'm sure when they announce more information, like that they're gonna find that they sold, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was an additional million sales.
I'm sure it's gonna be big.
Yeah.
Speaking of free games that no one wants to buy, iDarb is about to launch on Windows 10 soon. It is already showing up in the Windows 10 store, and it's going to be cross-platform multiplayer with the Xbox One version.
Oh, well, that's cool.
Yep. And hopefully we could get Mike Micah on soon to talk about it. I've found out that the reason we haven't heard from him lately is he's been dealing with some health issues. Apparently things are all better now, but we wish you the best, Mr. Micah, and the best wishes to you and all the nurses and doctors who have had to touch your pee-pee.
Yeah, anyone who has to touch a pee-pee. Yeah. Oh,
good
hey.
Times.
Rocket League set a new record for total concurrent players with 195,000 people online at the same time.
Good times.
Less than 1 week after the Xbox One launched. So, yeah, I'm going to assume that a couple of people bought it on the bone.
Yeah, I think so. A handful. At least five of us bought it.
Its own developer felt that getting 10,000 players total would be a surprise, having placed bets on that before launch.
So yeah, wow. I think people care about Rocket League.
Yeah,
that they're willing to drop $20 on it.
And there's actual Rocket League leagues.
Oh, of course there are.
Yeah. Awesome. But,
yeah, I think that about wraps up everything that we have to talk about.
Hey, Kat, since you are our special guest, do you have anything you would like to say? Any pimping you would like to do?
Any pimping I would like to do? Well, you know, you can always come watch Pappy Plays every Wednesday at our Scrumptious Unscripted channel at 8:30 Eastern.
And Twitter just threw up me playing The Deadly Tower of Monsters is up there now.
Twitter always throws up when they have to see you.
Oh.
Ah, fuck. There is more news to cover.
Oh, no.
Fuck. Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus. I forgot about them.
Well, this only takes a couple of minutes.
Which one do you want to hear first?
PlayStation Plus. We'll save the stuff that matters to me for last.
PlayStation Plus. On the PS3, people are going to be getting Super Stardust HD and The Last Guy for free. Both solid games, although both older games. On the PS4, there was a competition to vote for what game people wanted for free. The choices were between Broforce, Action Hank, and
God,
Assault
Broforce.
Android Cactus. And
it's got to be Broforce.
Obviously, Broforce won, which is kind of sad because I think Assault Android Cactus would have been the best choice.
Have you played Broforce?
Yeah.
How do you not love that game over everything?
I didn't say I don't like it. I just think Assault Android Cactus would have been a better choice.
Whatever. Fuck you.
And then Galick Z is the other PS4 game. And of course, people are already bitching about more indie games for free. And then the PS Vita is getting the game Flame Over, which is a roguelike firefighter game.
People, you know, when people bitch about, oh no, free indie games, Rocket League and iDarb are both indie games.
Yeah, I know. And then the other game that Vita is getting for free is Reality Fighters, which is just hot garbage on a plate, so...
Oh, you've played it?
Oh, yeah. It was like a launch Vita game. It is not that good. So, PlayStation, decent lineup for the most part.
If you haven't played Broforce, you will get your time into that one. If you've never played it, it's a free game. Get it.
Yeah, the general consensus is that Xbox is doing a lot better next month. The Xbox 360 from March 1st through the 15th is going to get Supreme Commander 2 for free, which is a real-time strategy game from Square Enix. Normally $30, so that's pretty good. And then the rest of the month is the original Borderlands for free. Which, if you don't already have Borderlands, where the fuck have you been living? And B, now you can get it for free. And both of those clearly will be compatible with the Xbox One. And I believe that the original Borderlands, through the backward compatibility program, also includes all of the DLC for
free. That's a lot of DLC.
So that's
I was going to ask you if it's the Game of the Year edition or if it's just the core.
I think the DLC ends up being more than the game in terms of size.
For the first one, yeah.
Yeah, it's like $40 for all the DLC. Yeah, a lot of people are like, where's all the DLC for the first Borderlands? And if you check the file size for Borderlands on the Xbox One, it's like 7-some gig, which includes all the DLC.
Hey, Joe, on your Xbox One, when it says gold members area, and there's that green circle.
Okay.
And it's green circle says 9 years. Is that how long I've been a gold member?
Yeah.
Yes.
God fucking damn it.
Mine's all jacked up because I've let my subscription expire numerous times.
I've been consistent. 41,000 gamer score, 9 years.
Nice. And then the Xbox One games are both pretty solid. The first is Crimes and Punishment Sherlock Holmes, which is still a $30 retail game, so that's pretty cool to get for free. And then that's all of March, and then March 16th through April 15th is Lords of the Fallen, which is pretty cool.
That's cool, yeah. Hey, speaking of free games on the Xbox, did you try that Styx Master of Shadows?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I was just curious because I won't. It's a sneaking game, so it's I already know that I'll be depressingly terrible at
Well,
it.
Guess what? It's free, so just get it.
No. So I was going to ask you if you played it.
It's gotten pretty decent review, so give it a go.
If you like I've heard if you like Thief, you'll like this game, but I did not like Thief, nor was I very good at it. So.
Well, give it a go. It's free.
No. We had this discussion many goddamn times.
The beauty of being free is that it costs nothing to try it.
I will punch you in the dick for free. Does it mean you want to try a punch in the dick? No.
You never know until you try it. You might punch so weak that it might tickle.
All right, Joe. Next time I see you, I'm punching you in the dick. And then
he just wants
the
you
discussion.
To diddle his pickle. That's the moral of the story.
He just wants someone, anyone, to touch his dick.
Please touch my ding dong.
My weenus is lonely.
But yeah, that's I guess that's everything.
Right, yeah. So, and if you want to watch streaming, and there's a better gamer on the Scrumptious channel than me. Wood, our technical sergeant friend from the. Currently in Asia for the 400th year straight.
Yep.
And he's good.
Secret of eternal youth over there.
And he plays horror games, which is awesome.
Yup. Actually, we have the finale of Fatal Frame 5 coming up, and then he's going to play the original 3 starting after that.
Nice.
Which is one of those games that has held up pretty well graphically.
Yeah.
That's not
Me wrong, 5 is gorgeous.
Yeah, but it's not like, oh, I'm going to go back and stream Resident Evil 1. It's like, oh, no.
Yeah, no.
No.
No, they've held up pretty well, and I'm excited because he jumped in on 5. I was just like, you should play Fatal Frame because you have a Wii U, and I don't. And I want to see the game, so you should play
He's done pretty good at it, too. Like, he's pretty solid.
Does if he has a modded Wii, like the original Wii, you should make him play the 4th one.
I'm going to. You have to have a solid disc copy and it's out of print. So that
no, not if you have a modded Wii with hard drive support.
Oh, okay.
No, to get the English, like the pirated English version, though, you have to have a hard disk.
Not if you have a modded system with a hard drive.
Okay, you guys can discuss this offline.
I have it on my Wii. That's why I know.
All right, so Joe, mail your Wii to Wood.
That's too much money.
That's what we heard.
There's a patched ROM of it with the English on it, so you can do it. There's ways to do it without a modded Wii that require the disc version and an SD card, but if your system's modded, playing off a hard drive, you could find the patched ISO out there.
I don't know. I found a copy at MAGFest, that they're shipping to me, and I only paid $25 for it. So.
Nice. Even
you
better.
Do that.
There.
Yeah.
All right.
Even
fixed.
Better. So I guess this week's final words, Kat, anything you want to say to end the show?
Cake is delicious. Vote cake 2016.
I'm good with that.
And now, in his first recorded guitar solo ever, presenting the one, the only, Nate Yngwie Horsfall!